Okay. Sushi on Shabbos. There's a lot of halachic issues regarding sushi. We've discussed the bracha in the past. You know, issues of bugs and in the nuri, all different types of things that go into the making of sushi. And I don't know how many people actually make sushi on Shabbos, but there are a lot of interesting topics, and it connects mostly to our issue of muksa. But let's discuss all the topics so we have a great understanding of this issue of making sushi on Shabbos. Let's go through all the different issues and all the different malachas. The first is the spreading out of the rice. To take the rice and to spread it out onto the sheets. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Perakid Aleph says that mamachik, spreading something out, a thick thing out, is asur min haTorah. And this means smoothing the hides of an animal, right, so they can use the skins to smooth out the skins. And the isur min mareach is a toldah, it's an extension of that malacha, to go and take a thick substance, like a wax, something like that, and smooth it out. That's the malacha of min mareach. Yeah?
Even though these are individual grains.
Ah, no, good. Okay, excellent. We'll get there in a second. So we have here a machlokas. The Magen Avraham writes in Shin Chaf Aleph, and he quotes the Smak, who says that there's no memachik min haTorah, there's no issue to smooth something out on food. Just like there's any ibud ba'ochlim. It's food. It's not, well, it's an issue. Food is food. It's not a real processing item like in the Mishkan. However, there is a memachik min derabanan of food. It's mutter to spread cooked potatoes out on, like, you know, they talk about, he's talking about potatoes, but cream cheese, hummus, whatever it is, because there, I'm spreading it out, not because I want it to be smooth, I'm spreading it out because I want to have my cream cheese in every single bite. That is the sheets of the Magen Avraham. The Mordechai says that all smoothing of food is mutter, even with the Rabbanan. No reason to be, no, there's no issue over here. And this is cited by the Rabban Shin Chaf Aleph, who says that because it doesn't impact the eating of the food, whether it's smooth or not, I'm just smoothing it. What's the big deal? It's just how I'm getting the food there. There's no issur mamachik, but he does say it's proper to be machmir. So we have a machlokas here, whether we have an issur derabanan or good to be machmir. Yeah.
So would you be able to frost the cake
for Pesach? Good. So if you're frosting the cake because I want the cake to be covered in icing everywhere, then yes. But at a certain point, your frosting is going to need to stop when it turns into a master class in the British Bake Off. You know, at a certain point, it's going to have to stop and back away. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Pei Beis and that Siman that to spread the potato on the bread or the cream cheese or the butter on the bread is mutzer. And the Be'er Halacha says that your intention is not memarach, it's to place the food on the gaps, to have every single piece of matzah covered with the cream cheese. And that's exactly what you want. So you have every single thing, everything in some bite. It's true that a psik reisha on Nisr Derabanan, that's essentially what we're talking about, I'm being memarach, a derabanan here, every single thing, but because you can still eat the spread without spreading it, there's no reason to be machmir. Meaning, it's not making it any better. The spreading is not having an impact on the taste of the cream cheese. I'm just moving it around to wherever I want it to be. And then in the Be'er Halacha he adds that if it's the normal way to smooth out this type of food so it looks nice, then it's memarach and it's asur. So based on this, Rav Ozner writes in the Shevet Halevi, and Rav Sternbach writes Mechilas Managos, and they both say that when making egg salad on Shabbos, you should be careful not to spread out the egg salad so it looks nice on the plate. Just, you know, like shal shivas, plop it down, and that's it. You're not a food stylist. Rav Nissen Karelis writes in the Chachami that it's mutter to arrange the egg salad or the chopped liver so it looks nice, and the reason is that it's not a specific type of memarach that's usually done. That's not memarach. Spreading food is not memarach. That's not what was intended in the Mishkan or what the intentions of the malacha are. So we have a machlokas whether to be how machlokas to be about spreading. Certainly, to spread out normally is fine, but to get too fancy, then maybe we're entering into an issue. So how do we come out here regarding the sushi rice? There's a question about whether you can spread the sushi on the nori sheets. On one hand, it's a big skill. It's a big mumchus. It's a big expertise to get the rice just right, the right thin layer, to make it look proper. And you have to practice to make sure it looks right, and that's part of the job, so it holds together. In addition, they're using a specific type of sushi rice, which is made to act this way, and to hold like a glue. We're dealing at least with memarach derabanan, or at least a chumrah from the Mordechai. On the other hand, you could argue this is the main intention, is to have the rice spread out wide, so I have rice in every single bite. Nobody wants to get a bite of sushi that doesn't have any rice in it. That's gross. So therefore, perhaps, you know, this is to have something which is not the real derech of the merach. So that's machlokas number one regarding the spreading out of the rice. Next, slicing and dicing for the sushi. Sushi has little tiny pieces of vegetables, things like that. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chafal says that cutting a vegetable very small is a violation of tochein. We know that. And the Ramah says the issue is to cut and then to store the food. But to cut it small and to eat it right away is mutter. That's fine. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Memeh that there are those who question the heter of the Ramah, and therefore one should be careful to cut the vegetable slightly larger right before the Suda. Slightly larger, whatever you think the carrot should be, a little bit bigger. However, those who are lean have what to rely on, he says. In addition, the heter is only with a knife. You can't use a special tool. That's never allowed, only with a knife. And the minig of Svarim, as noted by Rav Avraham Yosef in the Levi Aschein is Rav Avraham's Ha'aros on the Mishnah Berurah. So he says that they are lean to cut vegetables very small on Shabbos if they'll be eaten right away. So we have an issue here for Ashkenazim. How do we cut the vegetables before the Suda? So we have a machlokas here again. The Tzemach Tzedek of Chabad is quoted by the Kesos HaShulchan Rechayna, who we know for his measurements is also a Chabadic. So he writes in the Kesos HaShulchan in Kuf Chav Tes that if you cut the vegetables thinly the long way, even if you don't cut the other way, only on one axis, not the other, what we call in cooking, you know, juliennes, thinly sliced long strips, then it's still an issue of tochein. And the Orach HaShabbos, Sait Shal Yashu, who also felt it was tochein, and based on a Rashi and Shabbos. So one sheet that says long, thin slices is still tochein. The Igros Moshe in Orach Chaim in Chelek Dal and Ayin Dalid, in his letters to his comments to Rabbi, what's the Hilchos Shabbos one? Who also did Chanukah and the 9 days and what? Rabbi Eider. So in his Shuvas Rabbi Eider, he says the issue is only cutting small length and width. That's the issue. And this is the sheet of the Shlomo Zalman and the Mincha Shlomo and the Rissin Karel from the Chodshan. So we have the same thing over here. When making the sushi vegetables and they're cut small with the grater, that's Pasha Aser. To use a grater on Shabbos, definitely not allowed. That's a kli. However, cutting small pieces with a knife would be allowed, according to those who say that it's fine only if it's in one direction. It would be a problem according to the Tzemach Tzedek. Now the Shulchan Aruch there in Shin Chafal says it's mutter to cut cooked meat into small pieces with a knife. The Ramah says it's usher to cut raw meat. The Mishnah Berurah says the Taz and the Gar are lenient. The Prima Gavim side of the Mishnah Berurah says it's usher if it's going to be saved for later. So we have here a bit of a discussion what to do about the fish, right? If it's raw fish, it would be mutter, according to the Mishnah Berurah, perhaps usher, according to the Chazon Ish. So we have here another layer of issue when it comes to cutting the meat. That's the fish, not the meat, the fish for the sushi itself. That's issue number two. Number three, removing the fish skin. The Ramah writes there in Shin Chafalif that it's usher to peel onions and garlic without using it for immediate use, because doing so would be boner. And Rav Moshe writes in the Rosh Moshe Rachan Chel Dalet that the skin of an animal is roi l'achila. We have animal skin all the time. And therefore, it's one unit with the basar, with the flesh, and it's not boner at all. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the Shulchan Shlomo, says the same for fish and its skin. And the Orach HaShabbos says that's only if it's the norm for people to eat the skin. But if it's not the norm for people to eat the skin, and then it's removed, it would be boner. So if it's the derech to eat the skin of the raw fish, then it wouldn't be boner to remove it. But if it's not the derech to eat it, then it wouldn't be a problem to remove the skin unless you're eating the sushi right away. So that's issue number three. Yeah.
And is there a subjective thing? Let's say you're just going to eat with the skin, but if one person doctor is now going to eat the skin and he separates it, for him personally,
wouldn't
that be
boner? For him, it would. Correct.
It would be subjective.
It depends on the person. Correct. But again, I haven't seen sushi served with skin. Is that a thing? I don't know.
It is, but they separate it first and they don't eat the skin raw.
They do something with the skin afterwards.
Yeah.
So I guess that would probably be boner, maybe.
Well, that's how you use a chicken.
Yeah.
The skin.
once the item is cooked, Rav Yisrael Meltzer has a tshuva, he said he has a piece in the Eben Ezel, where he says that if it is cooked already with the skin on, then it's never boder. It becomes like one unit after the cooking. He doesn't view it as boder. Yeah.
Notwithstanding your horror about eating sushi without rice, but there was a period of time recently when I was trying not to eat the rice.
Yeah.
I actually was peeling the sushi, but it sounds like that would have been a problem.
To take the sushi away from it?
To take the rice.
Yeah, that would be a boder issue, yeah. Oh. Okay. Good to know. Don't go to such fancy kibbutzes on Shabbos when you have sushi. Yeah.
I am.
Don't go to such fancy kibbutzes. Okay. Next. We have two more issues to discuss. The next thing is rolling the sushi roll. Are you allowed to roll it and make it finished and complete it? So the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos says in Perek Zayin, and this is cited by the Magen Avraham and Shin Yates in the Mishnah Berurah, that making cheese on Shabbos is also because of bona. This is a favorite Shabbos fun fact. It's also to make cheese because of bona. You're gathering pieces together, little pieces together, and constructing them into one final object. So the Magen Avraham says the issur of bona with food is only when your intention is to make it nice and structured like a piece of cheese. Therefore, it's usur, he says, to make a cake of figs because of ma'amer, because you're gathering food together. But it's not bona, says the Magen Avraham, because when you're making a cake of figs, I don't care how it looks, I just want to smash them all together. I'm not looking for a nice end product. So based on this, Rav Ozner writes in the Shevet Alevi in Chelek Vav that when preparing a specific type of food for a specific type of way, it's considered bona, similar to making cheese. And this is certainly the case when liquids are involved and they're holding things together in a specific shape. On the other hand, the Maharsham writes in the Das Torah, and this is cited by the Shisas HaShabbos, that there's no issue with bona when preparing egg salad because it doesn't have a firm structure. It falls apart easily, right? You make egg salad and it plops over the place. That's not bona. The entire purpose is just to consume it right away. I'm not saving the egg salad for an egg salad sculpture. So based on this above discussion specifically, in the OU's Daf HaKashrus, in year 24, that's Daf HaKashrus Chaf Dalin, so they quote Rav Belsky saying that he's unsure about whether it's bona to make a sushi roll on Shabbos. And therefore, he says it's better not to do so. This is also the opinion of other poskim in our Yisrael as well. And Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva, which is not printed in the Minchas Asher. It's only printed in a Torah journal from a couple of years ago called the Kovetz Or HaShabbos. It's a Torah journal that's put in our Yisrael regarding Shabbos. This is in Krach Chaf Tes, in the 29th volume. And Rav Asher Weiss has the following tshuva, and he says that it's proper to not roll sushi on Shabbos because it's similar to megabein and bona. It's like making cheese. With sushi, you're not simply gathering the pieces together. Rather, you're forming a specific shape and roll which creates a new food with a new name. You're making a new entity. You're making something together, this structure that didn't exist in its final form as it was originally. And he does say, it's not tofer. It's not sewing when you seal up the roll because it's not really sealed enough that it's really going to hold its shape, you know, if you don't like move it around. And we see in the same Kovetz, the same journal, others who discuss the shuv from Rosh Rice as well. Just as a side point, I thought it was a bit of a chutzpah, but the editors of this journal, they placed comments from someone learning in a kollel in Yerushalayim, in Rav Yisrael Berkowitz's kollel in Yerushalayim. They placed his comments right after the tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss, like indicating that the comments of this guy in Kollel were like on par with Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva. It just looked very odd. Like he was like, you know, right to his insights from here on this tshuva. He wanted to be lenient against Rav Asher Weiss, but Rav Asher Weiss is machmir. So just doing, to hold it together? It would probably be the same thing. He'd probably say it's the same thing. In Shin Yud Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says it's usher to wash kulis ha'ispinus, the salty fish, in hot water on Shabbos, since it makes the product ready to eat. It's makel patish, it makes the fish ready. And according to most Acharonim, the Mishabura, The iser is only with hot water. But it's mutter to wash the fish with cold water, because it's never usher to make something inedible into something edible on Shabbos. A final step, yes. But if it's simply not edible, and I'm washing something off that makes it now edible, then that's not the issue. So the Prima Gavim says that it's usher to rinse the fish in cold water, since it's too salty without washing it off, and making it edible is makir patzish. He doesn't agree with the Mishnah Berurah. And this is the opinion of the Levush. The Tshuvas Rav Palim says that makir patzish applies to food. The Ber Halacha says the Prima Gavim is a chiddush. There's no source in the poskim that you're simply allowed to, that it's a problem of makir patzish. And Rishon Karel says in the Chodshani that even the Prima Gavim should admit to us that if the food is edible, but it isn't the way you like it, then making it the way you like it is not makir patzish, right? Your kids, I don't like it if it's just not like this, but the crust is on it. So if I take the crust off my sandwich on Shabbos, and I'll eat the crust, right? It's not going to be boder, but I'll eat my kid's crust, so it's not boder. Is that makir patzish on their sandwich? No, says Nissen Corrales. They're being annoying. They're adorable, but it's not, the sandwich is fine. It's just not the way they like it. That's not makir patzish. Based on the above, so Rosh Hashanah says that there's no issue of makir patzish when making sushi, because it is food, and even if it is food with all of its components, they're still edible before being made into a roll. However, the sushi fish needs to be placed and prepared before. You can't be preparing it in the water on Shabbos. All the fish needs to be prepared before. Let's come now to our sugya, which is muksa. Is the sushi fish muksa? That is the major question of the night. So the Shulchan Aruch says that raw fish is muksa machas gufo on Shabbos because it's not edible. Now the issue amongst the Achronim is whether this has changed nowadays because of sushi. You have frozen salmon in the freezer. Do you need to be machmer for that, like we were by the meat? Or can you move it however you want? The nafgamina is this going to be this fish in the freezer? So there are a number of different approaches. This is mainly discussed in a parsha sheet from Tufshin Ayin Vav called Vayishma Moshe, Parshas Baalosa. And in this parsha sheet, they went around asking a bunch of different poskim Eretz Yisrael. So he brings many poskim, including Rav Nissen Karelitz, Rav Shlomo Zalman Olman, Rav Chaim Meir Vosner, Rav Shmuel Ezer Stern, different poskim in different communities, who say that for most people, raw fish will be muksa, but for those who eat sushi, it is not muksa. It depends on you. Similarly, they said that Rav Yashiv felt that this is like a raw egg. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Yud, and the Aruch HaShulchan say, that a raw egg is not muksa. Because nowadays, it's not that, even though nowadays it's not the norm to eat the raw egg, but the Chazanim still have the raw eggs, and therefore, it depends on the person. So if you like sushi, so then your fish in your freezer is fine. And if you don't like sushi, the fish in your freezer is not fine. That's school of thought number one. Rav Mordechai Gross or Yaakov Meir Stern feel that in a city where many people eat sushi, it's not muksa. It depends on the city. Even for those people who don't eat it. So if the minhag in Hewlett is that people eat sushi, then it's not muksa for all of Hewlett, for all of Woodmere, wherever it may be. However, in a city where sushi is not eaten, we're going to have a problem. In the Tiltulei Shabbos, Rabbi Bodner, he writes, it's a little bit dated, so, but you'll bear with me in the sentence that he writes. This is on page 102. He says, quote, in Oriental societies where it is common to eat raw fish, such fish being edible is not muksa. I think times have changed. But that's what he writes. This is also the opinion of other poskim as well. The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Ches says that Rova Ola must consume the Machel Behema for it not to be considered muksa. Rova Ola, most people have to eat dog food for it to be considered not muksa, for people. The Minchas Yitzchak says that it doesn't mean Rova Ola Mamish, it means Stam Bri Adam, that it has to be most people and not anybody fancy. Just because fancy people start eating weird food doesn't make it not muksa for the rest of the community. It's not correct. The raw egg argument goes the opposite way, 100%. The Rav Yitzchak Weiss, Rav Mendel Schaffert explained that since some people eat raw fish, it's not muksa for anyone. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Belskin, that daf hakashrus. And this is, I think, how most people are going to go as well. But bizman hazeh, people eat sushi. It's the norm, it's not weird, it's not odd. And it's probably removed raw fish from the category of being muksa. Now, Rav Shammai Gross argues that it's not so clear that raw fish should be muksa. He says, sushi is a special grade of fish. It needs an expert to prepare the raw fish so it's edible. But fish that's been cut and prepared so it's edible for sushi is not muksa in a place where people eat sushi. That's his, he wants to couch the hetzer. So, lemaisa, the end of the day, definitely you can have sushi on Shabbos. A lot of these things are going to be alleviated because they can be done in mutter fashions, perhaps, and a guy perhaps could do it for your Shabbos. So anything that a guy could do in a mutter fashion, even though it would be quicker for him and it would be slower if you did it in a mutter fashion, it's not considered a mirror nothing. So there is room to have, if all these things could potentially be done in a mutter way on Shabbos, maybe the bone issue is probably the biggest issue, then perhaps you could have somebody make you the sushi on Shabbos to get around all these issues. But regarding the fish itself, in the case of a hefsa meruba, we can be lenient for the taz, move the raw fish on Shabbos. Rav Azar says this, the laws of muksa says this, Melech HaShabbos says this, and therefore the raw fish can be moved on Shabbos if it falls out of the freezer, it's in the way. There's a lot of hetzerim to get around it. I don't know if that's the case, that it depends only on a specific type. It could be that it's all fish at all times. I don't know.